Marijuana decriminalization advocates say they don't see the connection between their cause and the opening of medical pot dispensaries. The governor, though, well, that's a different story. Civil Beat reporter Chad Blair has today's reality check. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
In talking to Carl Berquist last week from the Drug Policy Forum, he was making the point that, look, you have to just take a really good long look at how society is evolving, mm-hmm. and that the idea of putting people who are arrested, convicted of having low amounts of pot on in their possession and checking them into jails really isn't in our best interest because it's very costly. That doesn't seem to be holding weight with those who are saying, well, let's just get the dispensaries together and then we'll talk about this. Really, where are we in that argument?
Well, you know, we've had decriminalization and legalization bills before the legislature, and they just haven't found enough support to get out of the ledge, let alone get to the governor's desk for signature. That does seem to be changing, though, and there are a number of bills. Anita Hofschneider has a story up today, not only on decriminalization but legalization. One of the arguments is, look, 21 states now offer alternatives other than prison or jail for people that have less than an ounce of marijuana, that this is just a common sense approach, that you don't need to put more people in our prisons. As we have reported repeatedly on this program, we have a serious problem with overcrowding in our prisons and jails. And as you know, the ACLU Hawaii just sued the state over prisons. So, and yet the governor stubbornly wants to make sure that the medical pot dispensaries are up and running. As you also know, that's been taking a long time, and there have been delays in implementation. Maybe by this year we will finally see medical marijuana distributed to patients through these licenses. But, you know, why not have both? That is the argument of people saying you can do both of these things at the same time.
Especially when you look at the cost of keeping a low-level offender in jail. Isn't it about like $150 a day?
$140 a day per person, and when you think that there's this is per day, and when you think that we have 5,000 or 6,000 inmates, including 1,400 of them in Arizona, that sure adds up. A lot of our prisons simply prisons and jails have two people to a bunk or to a room, and it's really to a cell, I should say, and it's really a concern. Now, there's another question: how many people actually go to prison and jail for marijuana? And that's more murky. We do know that 2,500 people. Last year, we were in prison and jail here in Hawaii for drug-related offenses, but it's not broken down specifically on marijuana. There are people like Keith Kaneshiro, the city prosecutor, says it's rare. We just don't spend a lot of time putting people behind bars if they don't have very much marijuana. He and others are also concerned about the message we would be sending to children if we legalize or decriminalize, what kind of message there. So there's all sorts of compelling arguments, pro and con, that we will be hearing a lot about at the ledge this session.
About the drug itself and the paraphernalia, because that can get you checked in too.
Right, exactly. There are bills to decriminalize paraphernalia. And by the way, it's not just bongs. It's a number of other definitions for growing and manufacturing and so forth of marijuana.
All right. Well, we're going to see how some of these bills do and whether, in fact, this is the logical time, as some have put it, for us to be looking at the greater question. Thanks, Chad. Talk to you in the morning.
Thanks, Beth Ann.
Chad Blair joins us every day from Civil Beat with a daily reality check.